Good evening, everyone. My name is TK Kapura. I'm your host tonight. If you just joined us this evening, thank you for listening in and welcome. You're listening to the Global Sail Show on Cable Portland Radio. Before we move on to our next interview, I want to remind you that Cable is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give, or you simply text KBOO to these numbers 44321. Thank you. I'm an immigrant from Zimbabwe, a country in Southern Africa. And as your host, I just wanted to reconnect with the last chapter I spoke about. Last time I spoke about Zimbabwe, my home country. I'm thankful to all of you who were able to listen to me as I spoke. Through various feedback, I'm glad to say that many of you enjoyed the show, and I'm so humbled to hear that as well. I'm thankful for the show of solidarity. So tonight, we return to the continent of Africa once again. As you all know, immigrants and refugees come from any spot across the world. Immigration remains a hot topic and it touches millions of people on any given day. This evening, we have our special guest, Mesfin Bashir from Ethiopia. Mesfin, will you please introduce yourself?
Thank you, TK, for giving me an opportunity to be on your radio show. And my name is Mesfin Bashir. I'm originally from Ethiopia, but I work at Oregon and Southwest Washington African Community Development Center. I'm the president and founder of the organization in Multnomah County.
Thank you, Mr. Bashir. Without further ado, let's visit Ethiopia now. I want to take you on a global sail to Ethiopia and pass through Addis Ababa, their capital. For warm-up, I will start with a popular song from Ethiopia. But before we do that, I was thinking we could start by just uniting Africa. So we're going to have a song, Africa Unite, by Bob Marley and the Wailers.
How good and how pleasant it would be
So that was Africa Unite by Bob Marley and the Wailers. For your own information, Bob Marley loved Africa so dearly. So it was his wish that Africa would unite and one day we would have the United States of Africa. Hopefully one day we'll have that. So moving on, we need to create an Ethiopian night right here in the studio. So we want to hear everything about Ethiopia. We want to imagine ourselves walking in the communities and on the streets in Addis Ababa and all over Ethiopia as a country. We need to feel the social temperature tonight of what and how Ethiopia feels. We want to understand the way Ethiopians think or the way they look at life. We want to be invited to their dinner tables, to their nightclubs, to their places of worship, everywhere they go, their meeting places, their malls and their markets. We want to experience their food, their music, their culture, their thoughts, feelings and perceptions. Before we dig deeper, let's hear from Mr. Bashir. Mr. Bashir, can you please explain the countries that border Ethiopia?
The countries that border Ethiopia are Djibouti, Eritrea, Sudan, Kenya, and also South Sudan. These are the countries which border Ethiopia.
Thank you, Mr. Bashir. For those just joining us in the studio tonight, we have Mr. Mesfin Bashir from Ethiopia. We will have a deep conversation about Ethiopian life and the experiences there. So without going any further, Mr. Bashir, if you were waiting for a bus at the bus terminus, being as brief as you can, how best would you describe the history of Ethiopia to a stranger?
Well, the Ethiopia is the ancient city, the ancient country, and also it is a symbol of freedom, liberty for all African people.
Okay, great. And what's the source of national pride in Ethiopia? What makes Ethiopians proud?
Ethiopians are proud because there is no Independence Day. There is it's a free country that from the beginning of the creation, so they have never been colonized. That is one of the things they are proud of.
Great. So Ethiopia never got colonized.
Correct. There was a 5 years of occupation by fascist Italy. That's the only 5 years that they have been fighting, but never been colonized.
Oh, that's amazing. And what are the natural resources found in Ethiopia?
The natural resources found in Ethiopia, the number one is coffee. If you know, coffee originates from Ethiopia, a place where called Kaffa. So coffee came from the name Kaffa.
Okay, great. And what's the weather like generally in Ethiopia?
The weather is, you know, mixed. It's like Oregon is an example of the weather in Ethiopia. There is rain, sun at the same time, you know, so it's not hot. It is modest temperature.
And when you compare Oregon to Ethiopia, what has been your living experience like living in Oregon?
My experience in Oregon is one of the things is the weather is the same thing like Ethiopia. There is a rain, there is a sun, so, you know, few minutes it's rain, some minutes the sun comes in. Those are the things. The other thing is what I love about Oregon. Ethiopians are humble people, you know, growing up there, they are more accepting people. So in Oregon, what I found is the majority of the people are accepting people as they are. That's one of, they are not snobby. They are good, welcoming people. That's what I recognized here.
Oh, great. That's great to hear, Mr. Bashir. Would you please introduce to us this next song from Ethiopia?
It's Africa Ye? Is that what you're talking about? Or
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Africa Ye is the, in Amharic, you know, the translation is My Africa. That is a song by Teddy Afro. Teddy Afro is, thinking about his nationality. So he said, well, I forgot that, I was African, I was thinking I'm Ethiopian, but I'm also African. So, you know, he's trying to tell the whole black people, I'm not only Ethiopian and I'm African. And he calls it like his mother, Africa. Africa means it's like a heartfelt, love for Africa.
Great. Thank you so much, Ms. Bashir. We'll listen to the Africa by Teddy Afro. You just listened to Africa by Teddy Afro, another song from Ethiopia. You're listening to the Global Cell Show on Cable, Portland. Before we move on to our next interview, I want to remind you kindly that Cable is a volunteer-powered community platform That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kbu.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. This show covers immigrant and refugee experiences from across the world. I'm happy to take you on a sail, and I'm sure by the time we get back from this sail, we have more eyes to open and more stories to tell. We have Mesfin Bashir in the studio with us tonight, and is about to share more on Ethiopia. Now we're going back to your personal history, Mr. Bashir. Can you briefly share with our audience your history, how you got here from Ethiopia, and what year was that?
I am, left from Ethiopia when I'm 17 years old, and then I was a refugee in Kenya. I stayed 2 years in Kenya, and I have traveled to United States through refugee UNHCR program. 1991, February 25th, 1991, I entered Boston, Massachusetts.
So what were your early American experiences like?
At early time, when I arrived in America, they thought that I don't speak English, but I do speak English that time. So there was an Ethiopian, person was waiting for me with the Lutheran refugee services and for translation purpose. But when the caseworker was Vietnamese, and then he started, trying to translate with the Ethiopian, I said, "Oh, I do speak English," and they were shocked. So I have a foster parent, and they took me there to my foster parent, and I went to high school for 1 year, and I went to college the next time.
Oh, great. So how do you feel now about living in America?
I'm very grateful to be in this country, and I have been given an opportunity, and I live longer. But there were difficulties on the first time because I feel like I needed somebody who looked like me, who can support me in a lot of things, but I feel good about it.
Great. So in this situation, do you hope to return permanently to Ethiopia one of the days?
I hope so. When you get older, when you feel like you achieved whatever dreams you have, I feel like going there and doing some social services, community services for Ethiopian people. Yes, definitely. I love to do that.
That's great. And so how would you describe the culture in Ethiopia today?
Today, the culture in Ethiopia is a little bit different. During my younger age, the people are very accepting, and there was no ethnic separation and other problems. But still, the people are more acceptable to foreigners than each other. That's how it is.
Oh, great. So in terms of social behavior, if I were to walk into Ethiopia today, and I was just walking on the streets, what would most likely make Ethiopian people angry or feel offended by a stranger's behavior? What would trigger that anger?
Well, I don't think if a foreigner, I think more they are acceptable to foreigners and respectable to foreigners than their own people. That's one of the problems we have in our country, each other, is you are respecting foreigners, but we are not respecting one another in Ethiopia. That's how it is. But I don't think, just because you're a foreigner, they don't feel different than anybody else. Even more, you are more acceptable and respectable.
Okay, great. I meant also, among yourselves, what would make any Ethiopian angry?
Ethiopians, they respect elderly, mm-hmm. Fathers and mothers in Ethiopia. That's how we grew up. So they also respect women. I'm just talking about in the past when I was there. And it will make them angry if you disrespect elderly. and women and children. That's how they are.
Oh, great. And how happy are Ethiopians in general?
Right now, they are not happy.
Why? Why is that so?
Because Ethiopia, for the last 27 years, they were ruled by ethnic federalism. Mm-hmm. That means, this is mine, you know, this, you don't belong here, get out, and this kind of things, ethnic division. So, we hope it gets better, but we have a fear probably it will be like Rwanda, you know, if it's not taken care of, the problem they have now.
Oh, I just hope it doesn't denigrate into that kind of situation. It would be very regrettable.
I hope so. There is an ethnic and religious division currently.
Mm-hmm. So what are the most popular calendar holidays in Ethiopia, if we talk about calendars? Kedis, you want to jump Kedis. In? Kedis?
In my perspective, there are many kind of holidays. There are like religion holidays. There are kind of like, how do I explain? They're kind of like for us, like Christmas is kind of like, it's like we just like celebrate with like all our family, and like we drink coffee, like eat like our mainly food is injera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun. Like you should really go to like any Ethiopian restaurant. You should really try the food. It's really good.
Oh, thank you, Kedis. We'll have another song from Ethiopia, and we'll explain. We'll continue with our conversation just after this song. The upcoming song is called Abilaku by Yene Habisha. Please enjoy.
Yeah.
You just listened to Abby Lakio. The song is Yene Habisha. All right. If you just tuned in, my name is TK Kapurai, and I'm your host on KBOO Radio Station. You're listening to the Global Cell Show. I cover interesting immigrant and refugee topics from across the world. Thank you for being with us this evening. In the studio this evening, I have Mr. Mesfin Bashir from Ethiopia, and he's discussing Ethiopian lifestyle, culture, food, and music. So back to you, Mr. Bashir. Can you please describe the food in Ethiopia?
The food in Ethiopia, the main food called injera, and there is also the kind of sauce and with the chicken. There is yellow and red dorowat. That's what we call it. Injera is the most important and cultural food of Ethiopia. But we have other many food kinds too.
And in terms of meats or side dishes, which ones are most popular?
And the other thing is, which I forgot, is also Ethiopians, you know, they eat raw meat. You know that. They call it you know, tresga. You know, they like that. And some of them eat, but the majority like it. And they eat ox, sheep, and goat meat. They eat that. But they make it tips. They call it. It's tips is also number one.
Oh, okay. So when they eat raw meat, which meat are they mainly eating as raw meat?
Ox or cow.
Oh, from beef. Okay.
Beef. Yes.
Okay. Why are they doing that?
I don't know, but that's how the culture, you know, since the beginning.
Yes.
That our forefathers probably. They have their own reasons. I'm not quite sure what it is,
okay.
But they like to eat that.
Oh, great, great. So have you been part of partaking that as well?
The
raw beef?
Yeah, when I was back home, yes, mm-hmm. But not now here, you know. So, but that's how it is. But back home, everybody eats it. They eat it with the hot sauce.
Yes.
And with some kind of alcohol with the barbare, which is the hot powder. They mix it up and they drink alcohol with it, whatever it is. So.
Oh, great.
But injera and dorowat is a special food.
Okay, great. So talking about religion, what are the religious practices practiced in Ethiopia?
The majority of religion people believe is Orthodox and Muslim. And those are the majority previously. But now we have Protestant, and also we have some Waqf Fatah, which is the Oromo religious sect, which is not majority.
Okay, great. So how would you describe... I know you mentioned a bit about the political situation in Ethiopia. So how would you summarize it for our audience tonight? What's the political situation like in Ethiopia today?
Today, we have a prime minister who came in after 5 years ago, after 27 years rule of Tigray People Liberation Front. And this prime minister was loved by many Ethiopians. There was no prime minister elected or leader in Ethiopia than him. But he just not doing a good job. So he didn't do what we want. We want ethnic federalism to be abandoned. We want civic nationalism. But he's not doing that. So still religious and ethnic fight is going on. So people are not happy. So that's it.
Do you see any hope in his leadership?
Unless and otherwise he changed the constitution and abandoned ethnic federalism, go to civic federalism, I think, you know, his time is up. That's what I believe.
Oh, good to know. Thank you so much, Mr. Bashir. We're going to have a song again. For those just listening to us, we're just listening to Ethiopian accounts on culture, music, lifestyles in Ethiopia. And we have Mr. Mesfin Bashir in the studio. So the upcoming song is called Alemaihew Eshete by Telentane Zare. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
tantna zare bi konnoro sentu tedesito yinu neberabo sentu bemedeseti yitapun neber tantalefna zare kullun gere ya yalefo fikir kemi wodat gara tizitaw si akatil nafkotum betera yenebero ulu meneberi teresto lari lila meta tantna hakunto sentu bemedeseti yitapun neber tlantalefna zare kullun gere yanne yezare amet neber sinwade betam sinaskana layen so bemengedi ahunulun gerto tigirte resa ana zare teretone tlantalefna ahunulun gerto tigirte resa ana zare Tlanta lefna
for listening to this piece of music. This was Ale Mahel Eshete from Telentena Zare. So for those just joining us, this is TK Kapura on the Global Cell Show. We have Mr. Mesfin Bashir talking about Ethiopian culture, Ethiopian food, music, and social life, politics as well. So Mr. Bashir, welcome back to the show. Just to continue with our conversation, Do you have any opposition politics in Ethiopia?
Yes, there is, but some of them they say they are opposition, but they look like they are parasites, you know, leeching off the current regime. But now there is a new opposition which went to fight the current government, and but there is no actual opposition. They put them in jail. And they arrest them, you know, they kidnap them. So there is no opposition that really stands against the government.
That's unfortunate. So would you take Ethiopia as a democratic country?
Not really. It's only the people are, the government is not good, you know, whoever it is, but the people are good. The people are democratic than the government itself.
Mm-hmm. So back to the work life, how would you describe the work life in Ethiopia? What are the working people doing? What are they working on? What kind of industries are popular in Ethiopia?
Ethiopia is mostly agricultural, you know, economy, but currently, the last 20-something years, they tried to be work to industrialize, and they have like park, something like that. They do businesses. The Chinese people, you know, came into the country, you know, so there are some industries, leather industry, you know, and some other industries, but Ethiopia 70% is agricultural.
Okay, great. So besides the coffee that you mentioned earlier on as a main export from Ethiopia, what other products does Ethiopia export to the world?
Skin, like hide, they call it, you know, goat or ox or cow skin. Mm-hmm. You know, they ship that and other, I don't know in English, but they make oil, you know, from that. I don't know what it is, but yeah, and kibbe, kibbe is butter. You know, mostly agricultural things, you know. Not a lot. Only hide and coffee and gold, too. They have gold.
Oh, great. Yeah. I also want to ask about the education system in Ethiopia. What is it like?
In the old days, the education system was great. But nowadays, you know, the education system is a failure. I think currently the status came in. With the high school graduates, you know, only 3% of the students who took the 12th grade exam passed the test. 3%. So that means, you know, they are not doing great. Education system failed the people they use. But in our time, it was great. You know, education was great. And then we learn in English, but now ethnic division came in and everybody has to learn with their own language, not properly. So the education system failed our Ethiopian youth. 3% out of 100% failed the 12th grade exam. So it's bad currently.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. So how many languages, roughly, how many languages are spoken in Ethiopia?
In Ethiopia, there are many languages. We have 83 or 85 ethnic groups, each of them, they have their own language. But the majority speaks Amharic, English, Oromifa, and some of them Arabic too. And there are that's the language they speak, most Ethiopians. You have something to say?
And one, it's like a religious language. It's called Gutas. And like if people, like they would, it was like a language that like people would use. Like they would be writing in like Bibles and stuff like that. So like it's like it, to this day, like only like some few people know it. But like back in the old days, like it was like kind of common.
Thank you, Kedis. That was Kedis, Mr. Bashir's son, 10-year-old son, contributing to the interview. Thank you, Kedis. So in terms of sports, can you say something about the sports in Ethiopia?
Yes, the best, you know, sports in Ethiopia is soccer. They love soccer. And they play volleyball. And that's it. They, also, there is a game which is a Christmas game. They call it Genna Chowata. That's a cultural, you know, game with the stick. And like here, yeah, over here, I think they play with the...
over here, to translate it, it is called badminton.
Okay, thank you so much, Curtis. That's badminton?
No, bat. It's just like...
Oh, okay.
It's like, you know, it's kind of like tennis.
Oh, it's like tennis?
Yeah,
okay.
It's like tennis.
Okay. All right, thank you so much for that enlightenment. So what is the club life like nightclubs and so forth? What is it like? Can you describe the club life in Ethiopia?
Well, in my days, you know, I left Ethiopia 35 years ago, so there was no club that time. But right now there are too many clubs, you know, many strange things, but I haven't been there. When I traveled to Ethiopia to visit families, you know, I didn't see them. But there are clubs, yes, just like America.
Okay, great. So do you have any any major in the industries that manufacture goods like cars, boats, and related items for as consumer goods for the nation.
Yes, you know, Ethiopians, I know that they start manufacturing like military, you know, materials like jeeps and tanks. And also, Ethiopians are number one in airplane maintenance and airplane training, like military. They are number one in Africa. You know, they train pilots, you know, since all day. So I know they manufacture military goods. I know that. And also they assemble cars, you know, they buy the motor, but they assemble other things in Ethiopia. Yes, they do that, but not that much. But those things have been implemented the last 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
There are, but not a lot.
Oh, great. Yeah, as somebody from Zimbabwe, I know during the struggle for Zimbabwe, there were some men that were trained from our country, men and women trained from our country as airmen. They were trained in Ethiopia. And when independence came, some of them would lead the Air Force of Zimbabwe to make it a new force. And some of them would be deployed to work in the airline for Zimbabwe, Air Zimbabwe. They had been trained in Ethiopia. We're grateful for that. So in terms of population, roughly how many people are in Ethiopia?
In Ethiopia, now the population is 120 million. When I left Ethiopia, it was 30 million. So it's amazing the population grew up the last 30 years. I guess 30 million per year, you can say that, they populated. So 120 million. It's amazing, you know. So they need lots of, you know, control, you know. I think that they do. I am not quite sure what the government will do, but 120 million people.
Wow, that's a big number. So in terms of refugees and immigrants who left Ethiopia to be in the USA, like how many roughly would be the number for refugees and immigrants from Ethiopia in America?
Well, you know what I know is in D.C. only there are almost 1 million Ethiopians. You know, that's are the majority of Ethiopians reside is in Washington. So more than 1.2 million in D.C. So there are many Ethiopians everywhere. They said even you can find Ethiopian in the moon too. So. The number, I'm not quite sure, but there are Ethiopians. They are the first immigrants to this country, too, before with trades and diplomacy. Ethiopians have been in this country. Even historically, Ethiopians fought in the black freedom in this country. Mm-hmm. If you know that in New York, there is a Church of Abyssinia, which uh-huh. was established by Ethiopians in the 1800s. So that's historically 200,000 Ethiopians died in this country fighting for freedom. You can go back and check Church of Abyssinia.
Thank you, Mr. Bashir. So there is an interesting fact I wanted to verify with you. People keep talking about Rastafari. Mm-hmm. Then they connect Rastafari to Jamaican music and traditions and culture.
Mm-hmm.
Can you briefly explain to our audience what Rastafari was and how does that connect with the Jamaican religion and culture?
I believe you got the right person to talk about that. I was born and raised in Shashamane,
yes,
a city where the blacks from diaspora live.
Uh-huh.
I grew up with them. These are Jamaicans who came during the Haile Selassie, King Haile Selassie's time. Rastafari is like, Ras is a rank in the king's empire.
Mm-hmm.
And Tafari is his name before he became a king, before he became Haile Selassie. His name is Tafari Mokonnen. So Rastafari is, Ras is a rank, Tafari is his name. So Rastafari. So Jamaicans, they have a belief that, you know, in the Bible, that a black king will come and save his people. That's what they believed, you know. So he went to Jamaica to visit during the slavery time, you know, in the 1960s, whatever. Mm-hmm. So in that day, there was a rain, a big rain when he came in. So they believe that the black king, the Messiah, came to Jamaica. So that's their belief. But he's a real man. He was a king. So after he came back, he gave them a 5 acre of land in my hometown in Shashamani. So I know the first Jamaicans who arrived there. I grew up with their kids, you know, and they married Ethiopians. You know, they have that 5 acre land. And it's funny, I'm going to tell you this. You know, three, four years ago, I went to Ethiopia. And I advocated for them to be a citizens of that country. And I advocated for them to be equal as Ethiopians. And with the government officials, I supported them to get, like, a green card is given to other Ethiopians. They have been there since the 1950s and 60s. Mm-hmm. And I argue with them, they have to be a citizen. The way I became a citizen of this country, yes, they should be a citizen of that country. And there are people who thank me for that. And even I wrote a speech for the local, I think December 2016, December 2012, 2016, uh-huh, I wrote a statement for the local mayor to speak on behalf of that. And they have their green cards.
Yes.
So now they are working to be a citizen. So that is the religion they have. But I don't see him as God. He's a man, uh-huh, a virtuous man, upright man, who stood for the freedom of black people, who started the African Union.
Uh-huh.
And he worked with the many African leaders like Nkrumah and like Kenyatta and Julius Nyerere and others. Even we trained many black African fighters, uh-huh, to free them from colonialism, right, in that country. That's the pride Ethiopians have. Wherever we go, you know, we are you know, freedom fighters. You know, we love Africa. Uh-huh. We want to be free. You know, that's who we are. And that's the, right, pride the Ethiopians have. So Rastafari people is a religion, kind of religion. And they smoke weed too. So, but I'm very proud of Jamaicans, and because they love Ethiopia more than Ethiopians love Ethiopia.
That's amazing.
So we love, mm-hmm, them, and regardless of their religion, what they believe,
yes,
because they love freedom, they want to be free. He inspires them to be free. Even Mosiah Garvey in this country, he, uh-huh, wants blacks to move back to Africa, that's Ethiopia. So they have children, grandchildren there, and they are the same thing like us. And then we will never let them be treated different than any Ethiopian in that country. And that's the statement of all Ethiopians.
That's amazing solidarity between Ethiopia and Jamaica.
Yeah.
Because I heard even Bob Marley would sing a lot about the solidarity between Ethiopia and, mm-hmm, Jamaica, and that's how he got to learn more about Zimbabwe, to end up singing and getting interested in affairs happening in Zimbabwe. It was, mm-hmm, through his visit to Ethiopia. It's so amazing how things happened,
mm-hmm,
and now we still owe him some gratitude for the work he did in, yes, raising awareness about the struggles for Zimbabwe to the world.
He was in Shashamani too, and uh-huh, I was a young man. I have a chance to see him too.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Right. Is there anything else from your heart that you want to share with America?
In America, you know, one thing I like to share is humanity supersedes all duty.
Yes.
Regardless of our differences, we are created equal. Regardless of what we believe,
uh-huh,
who we are,
mm-hmm,
we all are human beings. What we want for ourselves, we want for others.
Right.
You know, we can have differences, but we can respect our differences, work together for common good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't let other human beings, you know, not sleep while we are sleeping. Or we want every human being to live, you know, the quality of life to be better,
yes,
the way we want it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly in America, I don't like to see, you know, young men and young women to sleep on the street. We are wasting too much money on wars and all other things mm-hmm. when our fellow men and women have no place where to sleep. So we need more houses
yes.
for people to rest their head. That's one of the Bob Marley said, I want to rest my head, you know. Mm-hmm. So if we cannot have a place where to rest our head mm-hmm. for ourselves, for our children, for our family, mm-hmm. then there is no healthy community, healthy yeah. country. Mm-hmm. So we want our people to be the quality of life to be better for all of us. So we need our youth, good education. Education mm-hmm. is the key to success. Because who I am today,
yes.
regardless of where I am, mm-hmm. because I was educated as a young man.
Right.
That's why, you know, success is not only money, but success is to be the best you can be. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Mesfin, for this sale to Ethiopia. I'm sure our audience really enjoyed this sale. And many of you who leave this show having felt so much life into Ethiopia, how it is to be living in Ethiopia. Thank you so much for listening. And we just came to the end of our show. But as I head out, I'm going to leave you listening to a song called Africa by Toto. Is also, before I leave, I just want to thank you, Mesfin, and Kedish, your son, for the shared experiences with our audience. I also want to thank you, America, for listening to Cable Radio station from Portland, Oregon. I'm TK Kapura, your host on the Global Sales Show tonight. Please, thank you so much for being here with us for this last hour. Until we meet again in July, first Wednesday in July at 7 p.m., I say adios, ton, and a goodbye. And
thank you so much. Danahunu.
Danahunu. Thank you. I'll leave you listening to Africa by Toto. Thank Bye-bye. You. Bye.
She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. Longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.